We will be looking tonight at the verse 15 of this second chapter of Solomon's Song. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Catching little foxes, that's what I want us to think about tonight. As the Lord enables us, we're going to look at the truth that is set forth in these words in this little picture or parable that is contained in the verse 15. The battle against pests is one which every farmer and every gardener knows something about. The words of our text take us back to a time when that very battle was being waged by the vineyard owners of the land of Israel in Old Testament times. There were pests to be dealt with. Some things never change. And even today, with all of man's advances in agricultural technology, there are still pests to be dealt with. And the farmer or the gardener on a smaller scale is engaged in that battle. If there's going to be a harvest from the vegetable garden or from the farmer's field, then the pest has to be dealt with, whether it's the fox as it is here or some other kind of pest. There is a battle to be waged if there's going to be a harvest. But in the context of this chapter and of the book itself, the picture that is set before us here of the vineyard owner's battle against the pests that would invade his vineyard, that's only an illustration, a picture of the warfare against sin that the Savior calls his people to. The bridegroom here, speaking to his bride, urges upon her the necessity of dealing with these foxes, dealing with sin, dealing with those things that would spoil that spiritual harvest, that spiritual fruit that is to be seen in the life of the Christian. Here is a timeless battle. It was a battle that was to be fought in Old Testament times. It's a battle that you and I need to fight today, tomorrow, and every day that God gives us. There are foxes to be dealt with if we are to be fruitful for the Lord. Now I want us to notice first of all tonight that the people of God have a duty to deal with spiritual foxes. There is a duty to deal with these pests, these invaders, these forces of destruction, we could call them, that would invade the vineyard. There is to be action taken, and we need to notice that right away. What is the action? Take us the foxes. They are to be taken. They are to be seized, literally, and held. They are to be brought into captivity and dealt with. Instead of being left free to roam and to exercise their destructive power on the vines, in the picture that is in view here, the foxes were to be captured, to be brought into captivity, to be held in captivity, and no doubt, perhaps, put to death, dealt with. The pest had to be eradicated if there was going to be a harvest. Well, you know, for the Christian, there is that very process to be ongoing on a continual basis. As I was thinking of this, the words of Paul came to mind in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse 5, where he speaks there of the warfare, the spiritual warfare that the Christian is engaged in, a warfare that must be waged, not in carnal strength, but with spiritual weapons, weapons that are mighty through God. And he speaks of that warfare involving, in the verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. It's one aspect of the Christian's warfare that he refers to. But here's the one that I want us to particularly notice. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There is a sense in which the Christian is to bring things into captivity. Like the picture in our text, there are things to be captured. There are things to be seized. They are not to be left freely to roam around. They are not to be given free rein in our lives. We're not to give free rein to sin in our lives. It's to be brought into captivity. It's to be captured. It's to be seized. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you'll see where Paul again uses this kind of language to speak of how he deals with the flesh. The old nature that is within him with its sinful desires and its sinful ambitions and inclinations. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. He brings it under control. He keeps it in check. He doesn't give the flesh and the old nature within him free rein and allow it freedom of expression to do and act and will as it pleases. He brings it into subjection. If you like, he brings it into captivity. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We have already looked in our study in the Sermon on the Mount at Matthew 5 and the verse 29, where the same idea is presented under different terms. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. And the Lord is urging upon his disciples particularly to rein in and to put restrictions upon the eye, the hand. In another gospel, to place restrictions upon the foot, to bring it into captivity, to deal with the sin that would so easily express itself through those particular members. We are to place a check upon the flesh. We are not to give free rein to our old nature and act as we please. No, the foxes are to be caught. They are to be brought into captivity. Let me give you one more reference in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You know what the girdle was in Bible times. It was just the belt. It was used to tie up the loose clothing. It was used much as the weightlifter's belt would be used today to keep the body strong together, to give strength to the body. There was a reining in, a tightening in. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. No, you're not to live that way. You're not to mold yourself and to allow your life to be shaped by those lusts that were given free rein in your unconverted days. Rather, there is to be a restriction placed upon the mind and upon the life. You're to rein in your thinking. And all this is necessary because, as verse 15 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy at all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is what holiness is. It is a reining in. It is a bringing into captivity. Here, in Peter's words, bringing into captivity the mind. Paul spoke of bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. He spoke about bringing the flesh into subjection, keeping it in control, reining it in. This is what the Lord has called us to. We are to take the foxes. We're to bring them into captivity. We're to deal with sin. We're to rein in the flesh. We are to place restrictions upon our mind, upon our thinking, in order that we might be more like the Savior. Now, this is how the Christian is to act against sin in general. And when we look at the foxes, that's how we could think of them. We could think of these foxes as being representative of sin in general. The working of the flesh, the working of the natural mind, the things that are in the world, the influences of the world upon us. We are to seize those. We're to keep them captive. We're not to give them freedom to rule and to reign in our lives. But I would like tonight to point to one specific pest that is identified in Scripture under the picture of a fox. One particular pest that God calls upon His people to deal with. Turn, please, to the book of Ezekiel in the chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13, the verse 4. We're going to read a few verses here. Ezekiel 13, verse 4. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. The false prophets in the nation are described as foxes. The Lord goes on then to indicate some aspects of their character that justifies this description of them. Verse 5 is that they hadn't acted as a mediator, they hadn't been involved in prayer, they hadn't stood before God for the people, they hadn't wrestled with the Lord in the place of intercession in order to see the people saved from judgment and from sin. Now there's another element in verse 6. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Here's a fox. He's a false prophet. And he comes and he claims that his message is from God. And the Lord says, I never said that. He's not speaking for me. Verse 8, therefore thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God, and mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and the divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Men who exercise this kind of a ministry are a pest in the work of God. They're like the fox. One specific example of a pest that we are to work against. A pest that the child of God is to labor to try to eradicate the influence of these pests. Just as the Lord would exhort us in the words of our text to take the fox, to deal with the fox, to limit its influence upon the vine. So there is one specific application of that I would like for us to bear in mind, and that is set before us here in Ezekiel 13. We are to do our utmost to see to it that the error and the false ways of the false prophet is curtailed, that the influence of men who are nothing other than liars, that their influence in the Church of Christ is limited, that we, as it were, restrain them and do everything within our power through the spread of truth and the message of God's Word. We are to minimize the impact that these pests have upon the Church. The Lord says, deal with the foxes. Deal with the foxes. The error that is represented by the false prophet, the false teaching. We are to see to it in our own lives that we do not let that fox in. That we do not let into our lives and give free rein in our lives to notions that are contrary to the Word of God. Now we live in a day when people, even some who claim to be the Lord, are ready to give their opinion. And they're ready to say, you should try this, you should do this, you should introduce the other thing into the church. But I want you to understand, please, we need to measure these things by the Word of God. Whatever it is, and whoever suggests it, if it doesn't add up with the Word of God, it's a fox. You've got to catch it. You're not to let that fox in. You're to deal with it. Be sure that in your own life, there is not the swallowing of a lie. There is not the admission to our minds of that which the Lord never said. It's a lie. As Ezekiel says, it's a lying divination. It's a vain thing. It's an empty thing. I never said it. The Lord reminds His people. We let those things in. We're letting in foxes. The Lord says, don't let the fox in. Bring the fox into captivity. Work to minimize the impact of error in your own life and in your own heart. Work to minimize the influence of false teaching and false doctrine. We're surrounded by it. We are bombarded with it continuously. We are to take the foxes. Now, this action will not be easy. We need to understand that it reads as if it was going to be an easy thing. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. But the fox is noted for its cunning, for its deceitfulness, for its cleverness, its ability to outwit, to escape. The word that gives us the noun fox here in our text is actually derived from the practice of that particular animal of burrowing into the earth. That's the verb actually that the word fox comes from. It's literally a burrower, one who digs deep into the earth, but it's used to describe the fox. Here's an animal then that could take cover. Here's an animal that could hide itself. Here's an animal that could dig deep and hide from notice. It's not going to be the easiest pest to deal with. It's not something that's just going to be found on the surface. He digs down. And if we're going to deal with the foxes, whether it's sin in general, or if we think of error, or we think of the witness and the influence of false prophets, we're going to have to dig down to deal with that. Sometimes error and false notions take deep root in our hearts. Sin takes deep root in our hearts, and we've got to go down deep after it. It's burrowed down in. It has taken cover. It has hidden itself deep in the heart or deep in the life. I was thinking of the prayer that the psalmist prayed in the Psalm 19 and the verse 12. Who can understand his errors? That's an interesting question. There's not one of us know our sin fully. There's not one of us really understand just how sinful we are. If God has taught us anything about ourselves and we have learned that we're sinners, we haven't yet learned how sinful we really are. We only know a little bit. Who can understand his errors? Then the psalmist goes on to say this, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Literally, from sins that hide themselves from me. Cleanse me from sin that takes cover. Hide or cleanse me from sin that would burrow down into the earth and hide itself from me. You ever think to pray that? Lord, I don't know my sin. There's sins right now in my life and they have taken cover. They are hiding themselves. I don't see them. I don't recognize them. Lord, will you not deliver me from them? It's something of that nature that is to be seen in the words in our text. Take the fox, take the burrower, dig him out, go after him, root him out. He's taken cover. He's not going to be easily dealt with. But there has to be that digging work done. We're going to have to maybe go down deep, down into the depths of our heart where it hurts, in order to eradicate the foxes. But then you'll see there's another element to this work that makes it difficult in the verse 15, because he says, not only take the foxes, but take the little foxes. Take the little foxes. The little ones are to be dealt with too. Now you place yourself in the situation here that is suggested in this parabolic language or the pictorial language. Take the foxes. Well, that would be easy enough, I think, for any farmer to do. But you're to take the little ones too. And you can understand how there would perhaps be a reluctance to do that. The heart might well be touched by the sight of those fluffy, cuddly little ones. They're not easily eradicated, not easy to deal with. You understand the kind of thinking that I'm speaking of. But the Lord says, you take the little ones. You deal with them. Because the little ones grow into big ones. And the lesson is that we need to deal with the foxes when they're little. Sin needs to be nipped in the bud. There are to be no half measures. There are to be there's to be no holding back, but rather there is to be something of a spirit of ruthlessness in the dealing with sin in our lives and in our hearts. Sometimes we have a foolish and a sinful sense of pity. And there are things that we want to spare. It's just a little thing, Lord. It's just a little thing. The Lord says, you deal with a little thing. You deal with it when it's little, because when it's big, it's not going to be that easily dealt with. To change the metaphor, it's easier to deal with a weed when it's small than when it has grown and it has taken deep root. There are foxes, and at the moment they may only be little in our lives, but as time passes, they'll grow and they'll mature and they'll develop and they'll be much more destructive and much harder to deal with. Error and sin is to be brought into captivity, dealt with, nipped in the bud, dealt with when it's small. That's our duty. Take the foxes. Will you hear the word of the Lord tonight? And say, yes, Lord, I'll take them. I'll deal with them. There are things maybe now in your own mind and heart, and as God speaks, you know what you have to deal with. You know what the foxes are. You know what those sins are. Are you going to say, Lord, I'll take them. I'll deal with them. I'll rein them in. I'll bring them into check. I'll bring them into captivity. But then, secondly, I want you to notice something that's very interesting about this text. In fact, this is the thought that drew me or my attention first to it and caused me to determine to preach upon it. Because it is the foxes themselves that cry out for action to be taken against them. You see that? Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. The foxes themselves, the pest itself, says, deal with me, eradicate me, come and capture me. Now that's a very interesting thing. Is it not an interesting thing to think of the spiritual application or the spiritual inference here? Sin should cry out to the Christian, put me away. Deal with me. Bring me into captivity. That's what sin should cry out to all of us. When we look at the sin in our life, it should cry out, put me away. Deal with me. Don't indulge me. But how often it's not the case. And the sins of our heart and the sins of our life cry out with very different words. And they say, indulge me. Enjoy me. Hang on to me. Don't put me away. Isn't that what sin says? Isn't that what the sin of our heart often will say to us? But what makes sin, as it were, speak with this voice? What is it that makes sin become an offensive thing and become a pest to be dealt with? What is it that makes it take on that appearance? And not, as it often does appear, something to be welcomed, to be harbored, to be enjoyed and indulged. Well, let me say that there are two things here in the portion that work together to make sin, as it were, cry out and say, deal with me. There are two things that if you and I experience them, sin in our heart will cry out and plead with us to be dealt with. Put me away. Cut me off. Let me suggest to you that sin cries out to be dealt with when the voice of Christ is heard. There is here the striking thing that although this is the words, as it were, spoken by the pests, the foxes in verse 15, it is contained within the words that Christ Himself speaks to His bride. When His voice is heard, when He speaks to us, when we are in communication with Him, then, in that context, sin will cry out for us to deal with it. It will become a pest in our eyes. It will rise up before us and say, you must deal with me. You must put me away. When Jesus speaks, when He comes to speak to His people, sin becomes apparent for what it is. It is recognizable as a pest, as an intruder, as a destroyer, and cries out for action. Many Christians never see sin in that light. There are things in their life that to an onlooker should be crying out for action to be taken against them. They don't. They don't cry out. And that Christian can go on their way quite merrily with sin in their lives and engaging in activities that causes the onlooker to scratch their head and wonder, how can they do that? How can they go on in that fashion? Doesn't that activity just scream out, how, you can't do this? But it doesn't. And the reason for that is very simple. They never hear the Lord speak. They don't take time to listen to the voice of the Lord. Because if they heard the Lord speak, those things in their lives that are contrary to Christ and His ways would immediately begin to appear as a fox, as a pest. You know, that's the value of preaching. That's the value and the worth of reading the Word of God. You hear the Lord speak. And as you hear Him speak, there are things in our lives that we maybe never recognized as foxes before. They begin to appear. And they begin to cry out, deal with me, put me away. But if we never submit ourselves to the means whereby Jesus speaks to us, we'll never see the foxes. And we'll never think to deal with them. It is as the Lord speaks that we will hear the words, take me. We will hear the fox, as it were, cry out, I'm a pest, you have to deal with me. Take time to hear the Lord speak. For it's the means of identifying the foxes and the means of dealing with them. But you'll see that there's something else here. Not only does the Lord speak, but He has come close to His bride at this particular occasion. He speaks to her in the verse 14. He draws near to her with a desire that she draw near to Him. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. There is a desire for fellowship. There is closeness. There is this bond of communion here. As He draws close to His bride to speak to her and to draw her to Himself, it is then that this cry is heard. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes. What is it that makes sin appear to be an offensive thing and something that requires action? It's when the Savior comes near. It's when the Lord Jesus comes close. And the more we live in His presence and the closer we live to Him, the more we will hear the foxes cry out, deal with us. Put me away. Bring me into captivity. That's when we will have that experience. When the Lord speaks. When the Lord draws near. For when it's when the Lord draws near that we see our sin. It's when the Lord comes near that we realize how offensive sin is to Him. And then that we realize, I have to deal with this. But rather when we are far away from Him, there's not that understanding of what sin is. It doesn't appear to be the horrible thing, the terrible thing, the pest that it really is when we're far from the Lord. That's again why many of the Lord's people can quite happily have foxes, spiritual foxes, rampaging all through their life, in every area of their life. Their life is filled with foxes, big and small. They don't see it. They don't see the need to deal with the invader and the destroyer, or the need to deal with the sin that's ruining them, because they don't live in the presence of Christ. Here is the challenge then. It is to live close to the Lord, for then we will hear the foxes cry out, take us. The third thing that I would like for us to notice tonight is this. The great harm that results from a failure to deal with these foxes. You see, if action is not taken to deal with these foxes in our lives, then there are sad results. The Savior would have us to understand this. He is the heavenly bridegroom. He points these things out to His people as an added incentive to dealing with these pests. Let me suggest to you three things that come in the wake of failure to take the foxes. First, the easily damaged fruit in the life of the Christian is lost. Our vines have tender grapes. You will know that in the New Testament, the Christian is presented as being a branch of the heavenly vine, even of Christ Himself. There is to be a production of fruit in our lives, the fruit of Christ-likeness, the grapes, as it were, of Christ-likeness and godliness and holiness, that spiritual fruit that is specifically identified for us by Paul in Galatians chapter 5. It's sweet fruit. It's tender fruit. It's fragile. It's easily damaged. It's easily lost. And even the little foxes can spoil it. Even little things in our lives can spoil the fruit of Christ-likeness. Our vines have tender grapes. That fruit of godliness and holiness is a tender thing. It's easily blighted. It's easily damaged. It's easily withered. Sin can destroy fruit very easily. Sin will mar the fruit in your life. Even a little fox can mar the fruit will be lost. And this is the reason why the Savior would have us to deal with the foxes. But then you'll see that there's something else stated here in the verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Now that's a very significant statement there, because it goes far beyond the idea of just destroying the grapes that are produced. The vine itself is now under threat. The foxes spoil the vines by their scavenging habits, and maybe even by their burrowing habits, spoiling and destroying the vine above and below the ground. The word that is used here has in it the idea of destruction. Destroy the vine. But there are other elements in the meaning of the word, and there are a number of them that are significant. There is, for instance, the idea of perversion or twistedness, a deformity of the vine. The fox, however it damaged the vine, it produced a deformity in the vine. There is also the additional idea in a human sense in this word of pain and anguish and even of writhing in pain. There you have the idea of the twistedness coming through again. Twisting and turning and writhing in pain and agony. And such certainly is the effect of sin and error in the life even of the child of God. Sin and error can deform. It can produce a twistedness. It can produce the very opposite of the uprightness and the straightness that God has called His people to. Many a Christian has been deformed because they've allowed the foxes free rein. It's not just a question, you see, of a bunch of grapes or a couple of bunches of grapes. One little piece of fruitfulness or another. Not just a temporary absence of fruit. It's the very vine itself that's being threatened now. And many of God's people, sadly, have allowed sin such free rein in their lives. They've indulged it. They've given themselves over to it to the point where they almost can't bear fruit. They're so twisted and so deformed spiritually. The vine itself has been ruined. The foxes have done their worst. It's bad to have the tender grapes spoiled. How much worse to have the vine spoiled. And yet the Savior is warning us through these words, through this picture. You give the fox free rein in your life. Yes, it will rob you of fruitfulness in the short term. It could spoil the vine in the long term. Twisting, deforming, making you bitter, bringing pain, anguish, heart and soul into your life. Deal with the fox. Deal with him before he spoils the fruit. Deal with him before he spoils the vine. But then there's something else here. Because in the context of verse 14, the spiritual significance of taking the foxes is linked with further and closer fellowship with the bridegroom. He comes near to his bride. He beckons her to him. He says, "Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice." Now, as a means to that experience, you got to deal with the foxes. You're going to engage in closer fellowship with the Savior. There are foxes that need to be rounded up. This is true at every stage of a developing intimacy with the Lord Jesus in the life of the Christian. There are foxes that are going to have to be rounded up. We're going to progress in our communion with Him. We're going to grow closer to Him. We're going to know closer and deeper fellowship with Him. We're going to commune with Him. If He's going to look upon our face, if we're going to come into His presence, if we're going to speak to Him and have Him hear our voice as a sweet thing, then there are foxes to be dealt with. We don't deal with the foxes. We lose out on the fellowship with the Savior. That's the price of not dealing with them. Of not bringing the flesh in its thinking. Of not bringing error and sin of every sort into captivity. The price is we lose out on fellowship with Christ. Here is the picture then that is set before us this evening. Great harm will be brought into our lives by failing to deal with the foxes. In chapter 1 and the verse 6, the bride that is addressed in the words of our text has already had to admit, "They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." What a sad lamentation that is. Mine own vineyard have I not kept. Maybe the Lord is saying to you tonight, there are foxes to deal with. If you want to grow closer to me, if you want to go on with God, here's a fox that you got to capture. Here's a way or here's a line of thought, you've got to bring it into captivity. Here's an idea, you've got to capture it and you've got to deal with it because it's an error. It's not what I think. It's not what the Word of God says. You've got to capture that fox. Don't let it be said, or don't let the circumstance develop where you'll have to say, mine own vineyard have I not kept. May God help us to keep our vineyard. May God make us fruitful. May we guard against those things that will destroy the fruit of Christ-likeness in our lives, that will rob us of fellowship with Him, that would make us twisted and deformed and put us beyond bearing fruit. May we guard against those things. Don't let them in. Don't let them get so dug into your heart that you'll never get them out. But deal with them, and deal with them when they're little. Because as we deal with them, there'll be more fruit. As we deal with them, there'll be fellowship with the Savior. May God give us the grace to round them up and to bring them into captivity for Jesus' glory. Let's bow together briefly in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We ask now that Thou will write it upon our hearts. Give us the grace, Lord, to go after the foxes, to capture them, to dig them out, Lord, that we might know the blessing of the Lord. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.